in my veins. We sang that song vigorously, happily. That pleases God. He wants us to please Him. And He manifested His love first. As to how much He loves us. He didn't want to lose us. That is, He wants us to live lives that He has commanded us to live in His book called the Bible. Had His Son to come and stay down here 33 years and to die on our behalf, all because He wants us to come and live with Him forever in a place that is challenged for humans to describe. It's so wonderful. With that kind of love manifested, let us endeavor to please God so that we might hear Him say one day, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." And you'll be glad for every hour, for every moment that you spend on planet Earth glorifying and pleasing Him. And probably the only thing that we can say is, thank you, God. Thank you, God. We have come together today to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And we were excited. For those of you who may have come in late, there was a baptism just before we began the worship service. She came with a made-up mind. I want to be a child of God. I want to live for Him, and I want to make heaven my eternal home of abode. Because we know beyond a reasonable shadow of doubt that God has created us for Him. And that we're going to live forever. We're going to live as long as God lives. Now, how long is that? That's a long time. And I don't even know if we have human words that adequately describe. There is no end. Let me put it this way. There's no end. No end. No sickness, no sorrow. Living with God eternally. I'm delighted to see all of you who are here. We want to be cognizant of our brothers and sisters who's not here. Zone leaders, I want you to keep an eye on that and encourage zone members to be encouraging one of another. We're not going to make it by ourselves. We must work together to help each other. To make our eternal home with the Father. Come with me this morning to a book that's in your Bible. I want you to go to the book of Daniel, chapter 1. That's in the Old Testament now. Daniel, chapter 1. Those of you who are not members of the Church of Christ, we're delighted to have you. We pray that this will not be your last visit with us. But we also pray that this will perhaps be your last visit as a guest, as opposed to as a member of the body of Christ. That's what he wants. We love him. That's what we want as well. And if you have any questions regarding what's preached, taught here, don't hesitate to ask. We are helpers one of another. We're all endeavoring to make heaven our eternal home of abode. I ask you to come to the book of Daniel chapter 1, did I not? Before we read that, let's go to Acts chapter 1. You know it from memory, but let's put our eyes on it. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus meets with his 12 apostles for the last time on planet Earth. One was missing purposely, but the 11 were there. Judas was not there. I want to read a few verses on chapter 1. I want you to follow along with me. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles, whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his death, burial, and resurrection by many infallible proofs. Your Bible says passions. Being seen of them for 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Pertaining to the kingdom of God. Not kingdoms, but the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, you have heard of me or heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, and asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they watching, beheld, they see him begin to go on back to glory. Going on back to glory. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Go to Jerusalem and wait until you are endowed with the power of the Holy Spirit that will guide you. I'm not reading, I'm quoting. Guide you into all truth. Jesus wanted to make sure that what these apostles are going forth to teach, I want them to make sure to preach my word. Not something that they can think of, not something that they can make up. Stay here until you are endowed by the whole power of the Holy Spirit to preach my word without addition or subtraction. Knowing that, people will still read this Bible by the countless millions and believe that as a church is a church, and every church is the Lord's church. This Bible says one Lord, one faith, one baptism.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And Jesus is telling them, don't go anywhere preaching until after you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's going to guide you into all my truth. Bring to your remembrance everything I've ever taught you. Bring to your remembrance what I have taught you. Let me read the text where it says, while they were still here, teaching them. He sent them out to teach what he taught them while he was still here. Only what he taught them. We're going to be in the judgment with the Father, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. God keeps a record based upon Revelation 20. He keeps a record on everything, everybody, every human being that ever lived. He keeps a record.
Yes, sir.
He lets us know ahead of time, I have a record that I keep. And your record is going to be open at the judgment. And my record, hello? And my record is going to be open at the judgment. Now, how do you think you are going to fare if you have supported, become a member of, and supported a church that you can't read about in the Bible? If the apostles didn't establish it, guided by the Holy Spirit, it's not of God. It's not of God. It's something that man said it can be done this way just as well or just as good. Until God says that, don't accept it.
Yes, sir.
Don't play Russian roulette with your soul. It's worse than Russian roulette because we have a Bible to study, to read, to obey. Or you all think, no, it's not our thinking, that's God's thinking. We're just sharing with you what God says. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's not us.
That's right.
That's the Lord. And we, if we have our senses still in place, should not do anything that's going to jeopardize our salvation. I want to hear God say, well done, good and faithful servant. Still on the same page? Now, what you do with this information, you can read it in your Bible for yourself. But what you do with it, that's your call. That's your decision as to how you live your life. That's your decision as to whether or not you support any kind of religion, any kind of church. That's your individual choice. God does not take choice away from us. But he makes us accountable. He holds us accountable for it. But not just that. After you become a member of the Church of Christ, study to show yourself approved unto God in your actions after you become a member of the Lord's Church. He wants each of us to live our lives that glorifies him. That glorifies him. And we're talking about foreverness, not time. There will be no such thing as time in eternity. We have time here. Eternity is forever. Make your calling and election sure. Is that your sermon, Brother Brown? That's part of it. You want a title? I got one. Hold to God's. You got it. And you can't even read my paper. But you have it. Hold to God's unchanging hand. God's unchanging hand. That's why he blessed us to have the Bible, so that you will know what he would have us to do. Let's read a few verses here. Now pay attention, and I appreciate your attention. Daniel chapter 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem to besiege it, go to war. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Aphanaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, of the king's seed, and of the princes. Well, now the upper verses told us that he went to war and won the war. Now the king that won the war is saying, look out among these Israelites that we've got. Verse 4, children in whom was no blemish, well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. You all probably know most of this already. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine that the king drank, so nourishing them 3 years, getting them ready to stand and work in the king's palace and to look good, because he wants him to choose some handsome men. So nourishing them 3 years, that at the end of the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among the ones that were chosen, the children of Judah, Daniel, Ananiah, Mishael, Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meachim, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which the king drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now watch this. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. So God had already fixed the heart of the man that they had to deal with regarding their menu. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my God, the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. In other words, you want me to give you what you want instead of what the king has appointed for you all. And if you come up after the period of time and you go before the king, he wants you all to be good-looking fellows working in the palace. And if you're not, he's going to blame me for it. That's the verse 10 we just read. For why should he, bottom of verse 10, for why should he see your faces worse liking than the children who are of your sort, than the rest of your folks that we captured when we had the war? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzer, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, prove thy servants. Give us 10 days to prove how we will look. That's the 10 days. And let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. No wine. Then let our countenances be looked upon. Then check us out before thee. And the countenance of the children that eat of the notion of the king's meat. And as thou hast seest, deal with your servants. At the end of this period of time, you compare us to the folk that's eating the food that you all had planned for us. So he consented, the man that was in charge, so he consented to them, verse 14, in this manner, and proved them 10 days. At the end of 10 days, the countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. God is God. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them beans or pulse. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. And at the end of the 10 days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, the king. And the king communed or talked with them. And among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them, are you there? Verse 20, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in their realm. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. Do right, live right, act right, based upon the Word of God. There was a war that we are told at the very beginning of the text. This Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Jerusalem, besieged it and won the victory. But now he is saying, this lesson teaches us, don't follow the crowd, just to follow the crowd. Just because someone else says it's better, check it for yourself. Hold on to God's unchanging hands. Jesus chose 12 apostles. In the New Testament, after he became a teacher at the age of 30, he worked with them, he talked with them, and trained them, taking note of what they did, what they said, and how they said it. When Jesus gave commandment, he was getting them ready for the time that he would not be with them, and he was going to send them and did throughout the whole known world at that time. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, let us not endeavor or try to change what God has written in his holy book called the Bible. Amen. Let us not add to it or take from it. God knows everything. He's all-knowing, and all doing always the right thing. Individuals, go to church diligently. Support that church diligently. Without first checking what thus saith the Word of God. Why do you think God gave us this book? Sent and sent His Holy His Son here. Jesus took all of that time away from glory, 33 years, to teach and to train 12 men to take on, take over, and preach His Word after He's gone. We are more than what we have become. God wants every human being that's of age to hear, believe and obey His Word. He wants to add all that are of age to His family. How are they going to get it? Let us be mindful of why God saved us. I was saved that God because God wanted me saved. Thank God for that. But He didn't just save me to save me. He wanted me to be an example for others and to live and act like I'm one of His children. Not coming every other Sunday. Not skipping here, there, and yon. Bible class. Be thou faithful how long? Be faithful unto death. Church, we are more than what we have become. We are God's chosen children. It is He who blessed us to hear the gospel. He blessed us to understand it and then gave us the wisdom to obey it. Don't stop. You became a member of the Lord's church because you believed it's the Lord's church. And we sing this song, as I said heretofore. Hold on till the end so that you can make heaven your home. And before doing that, you can be a role model for me and for others as we endeavor to make heaven our eternal home. We're going to have an eternal home. Listen carefully now. We are going to have an eternal home once we die after the judgment. We're going to have an eternal home. Human beings are going to exist forever. But the question is, where? Where are you going to live forever? And the same Bible that lets us know that we're not going to live forever on earth, the same Bible tells us where we're going to live in eternity. Did you know? God made it easy for us. What do you mean He made it easy for us? You don't have ten places to stay. You don't have to try to figure out what ten, what, now I got all these places. What? No. You don't have 10 places to make a decision on. Only two. And you have the power to make the decision. It's your choice. He gives us, we have information regarding both. We have His information as to which one He wants us to choose. But He also lets us know about the other one that we prayerfully don't want to choose. And one of the reasons I believe that God informs us of the second place is to encourage us to take Him, to take His choice, so that because we see the love that He has for us. He didn't have to do that, but He did it just for us. Making heaven our eternal home of abode because we're going to live somewhere forever. Yes, sir. Did you notice what the writer in the book of Daniel was sharing with us? These people ahead of us were so thoroughly involved and loved God that they were willing to risk their life after they were able to come through the storm of the war that took their country. Did you follow that? Let us be mindful of what we have. Let us strive to make heaven our eternal home of abode, because we are designed by God. We are designed by God to live forever. Body goes back to the dust. That's because he has called us out of the body. He has a holding place for us, and he has a Revelation chapter 20 place for us. Heaven, he keeps the record. He knows exactly how many Bible classes I miss. He also knows the reason that I miss. He keeps the record. Not only does he keep the record, he's going to show it to me at the final roundup of human affairs. On that day, that's in your Bible in Revelation chapter 20, God is going to show it, going to have his records. And we're going to be judged out of his records that he keeps. If we keep them, he doesn't do that. He doesn't go that route. He keeps the record. And he's going to have his record present, and he's going to have my record present, and he's going to have your record present. And guess what? He's going to compare his record with my record. You know why? Because his decision has been made based upon what the two records say. Records say do this. Records say I didn't do this. Records say I do this. I did this a little bit. Heaven can never be our home. We don't worship God. We don't serve God sometimes when we get ready. We are Christians once we are added to the body, as this precious soul was this morning. We become the adopted sons of God. So we are either the adopted children of God, or we are not in his body. And the only thing that's waiting for us to hear from God, depart from me, for I never knew you. You say, Brother Brown, that's what you came here to talk. Yes, that's right. You have folks who were here, helped us get to this place. Helped us get to this place. And some of them have walked away before we finish keeping our word. Thank God for those who are still holding to God's unchanging hand and living up to the promise that you gave God, not me, but to the promise that you gave God by your actions. Then. But where are you now? Why are you talking like that, Brother Brown? Because I want you saved. God's going to take care of his business. He's going to use whatever he has and wants to use. But God sent his son to die for you. He wants you to come and live with him when you leave this world. But you can't come and live with him if you don't obey him in this world. And you already know that. And brothers, Brother Brown, I want you to sing for an invitation song, Hold to God's Unchanging Hand. I think we have a song like that, don't we? Hold to God's Unchanging Hands. This is not a time to quit. You know too much to quit. You may know too much to even want to quit or even think about quitting. Worship. Some of the members here that were here when we left Sandy Lane, they're attending another Church of Christ in Richmond, Virginia. But you gave your word by your actions ahead of time. What happened? What happened to you? You obeyed the gospel. Gospel didn't come from us. It came from God. You obeyed the gospel. And the gospel teaches us to keep our word. The gospel teaches us to hold to God's unchanging hand. Well, you're upset with Ananias. You fell out with Sapphira. What's that got to do with God? We are helpers one of another. We are to endeavor to help ourselves and help others make heaven their eternal home of abode. Are you there? And no, that's fine. Yeah, that's it for now. That's it for now. He said, "Preacher, you sound like you're fussing this morning." Whatever it sounds like. I don't think I deviated from this book called the Bible. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Keep your word. Keep your word. And I want to encourage you, church. There is a place called heaven. It is a place without pain. It is a place that never grows old. And it's eternity forever. No more sickness. No more sickness, I said. No more aches and pains. All is blissful. And you're going to live forever knowing that. And knowing that you only read about one church in the Bible. And sometimes folks get angry with that. How many churches have you read about in the Bible? Did the 12 apostles that Jesus had, did they all preach the same thing? Or did they establish different churches? Wherever they went, every one of them preached the same thing. Wherever they established a congregation, they established the same congregation. Here, there, and yon. If you can't read it, don't accept it. That's coming from God. And he's going to be our last judge. And it's his rule, his decision will stand forever. Will stand forever. You know, sometimes I wonder about regarding that. I says, wonder if God is going to ever get tired or sympathetic regarding those people that sent themselves to hell. You know, after about 100 years, they don't say, "Oh, y'all had enough." The Bible doesn't indicate that that's going to happen. And you can have the blessed of everything, and it doesn't cost you any money in heaven. I was stressing the in heaven part. But now it costs you a lot of it. Oh, give us your prosper. Where are you this morning? He said, "Preacher, I didn't expect this. Me neither. Or me neither, whichever it is. Let us work together. Stay together. Keep our word. And be encouraging one of another. Because we're brothers and sisters. If we can't live together on earth, there's no church up in eternity for you to change to." Did you follow that?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I get upset here, so I go to the church prior to Christ's time. They don't have that in heaven. Make your calling and election sure. Don't wind up going to hell all because of misconduct on earth. Anger. Blasting a temperature. I mean, not a temperature, but that you can't convert. And it's yours. Convert your temper and go to heaven. We're going to work it out down here. We have a difference of this, that, or the other. We're going to work it out down here. Because I want to go to heaven, and I believe you have sense enough to want to go to heaven. Amen. And we're going to live there together. Forever. Forever. If you're here and you're a member of the body of Christ. And for those of you who came in late this morning, there was a precious soul added to the family of God this morning. She was baptized into Christ Jesus. But if you're already in the body, where do you stand? Now, you only read, I'm quitting, about one church. And if you support a different church other than a Church of Christ, you are supporting a church that God never established.
Amen.
You think he's going to be well pleased with that?
Amen.
Make your calling and election sure. How do you do that, Brother Brown? Believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Be godly sorrowful for the sinful life that you've lived up to this day. Acknowledge your faith in Jesus Christ. Confess him to be the Son of God. And then be buried in water baptism for the forgiveness of every sin that you have ever committed. And you know what? God adds you to his family. You become one of his adopted children. And that's heavenly. That's glorious. Because at the final roundup of human affairs, here's what you want to hear. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Come on up a little bit higher, and I'll make you ruler over all. Isn't that? Can you find a better deal? If you find a better deal, take it. But if you can't find a better deal, take God's. And I don't think anyone can outgive God. You fight on. Let us together sing. You fight on. Yes. Oh, I asked for a song.
Time is filled with swift transition. Naught of earth unmoved shall stand. Build your homes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Why don't you hold to his hand? To God's unchanging hand. Hold to his hand. To God's unchanging hand.
Build
your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Why don't you hold to his hand? To God's unchanging hand. Hold to his hand. To God's unchanging hand. Be your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand.
Time is not in our hands.
Hallelujah.
What we need to do, collectively or individually,
hallelujah,
do it.
Thank
you. Do it now.
Thank you.
Because, number one,
you
don't know when God is going to call us off the map. And number two, you don't know if we're going to get some kind of a sickness and lose our mind and we're still on earth. Body still moves, but the mind doesn't click. Don't play Russian roulette with your soul. Bouncing back here and there. Let's live on earth like we love the Lord. If we don't love him down here, Like that little fella, he thinks you don't love him, perhaps. So he's letting you know. I know you don't love me. And if you do, act like it. Church, we didn't come to this place. We didn't come to this building on our own. We came because God sent us here. You say, why do you know that? Because he made the other place too small. So he blessed us to know and learn about this because it was a vacant land. He blessed us to learn about the vacant land. He blessed us to purchase the lake of vacant land and pay for it. He blessed us to sign engineers, those people that make these drawings, to design these buildings. We found someone that was able to do that in ways that we could understand. And he blessed them to do it. He blessed us to come this far. And he, pardon the colloquialism, he ain't brought us this far to leave us. We are still his children. We are still soldiers of the cross. Let us continue marching doggedly on in the pathway of duty. Quitting is not an option with the Lord. Go with God.